Oh, welcome back. Joel Radio is live. Welcome, welcome, people. To your iPod, your computer, wherever you may be, welcome to Joel Radio. We are drawing near the end of 2009. Getting very close to the end of 2009. And I've put together a very special show for the end of the year. That's right. And this is going to be... I was inspired, basically, by a lot of these year-end lists were coming out, you know. Best songs of the year, best albums of the year, best movies of the year, a lot of best of the years coming out. And I can put those together. You know, I like movies and music and all that crap. But I decided to put together my own best of list. Well, this is best of the year. This isn't exactly a best of. Nor is it really a worst of, although you could call it a worst of if you wanted to as well. See, I was watching this, I got a little bit of it anyway, the Barbara Walters, I think she called it the most intriguing people of the year. That was on TV the other day, and I was watching that going, you know, she says it's most intriguing people, and I guess some people are intriguing for doing good things, some people are intriguing for doing bad things, but my feeling was I'm not really intrigued by a whole lot of people. So instead, I would put together something else. So I put together, I think very appropriate for this show, if you know me and my history, and you know the Corey and Joel radio show, if you know me from that, I put together my own list, and I'm calling this the assholes of the year. That's right. So I have, in my opinion, the 10 biggest assholes of 2009. And I will give you that list. I will give you the reasons why. It's actually more than 10 people on it, because in some of these categories, they're tied, or sometimes there's more than one person that would be considered an asshole in that same way. But I will read to you my assholes of the year with a full description. Why? Who the assholes of the year are? Why they're assholes? What distinguishes them in the world of assholery? I will be doing all that for you later in the show. And I'm also got, what else have we got coming up? UFC picks. I got that coming up. I got to plug my comedy show, which is next week, which I want you all to come out to if you can. So we'll get to all that. But first off, I want to start with something, well, this is near and dear to my heart, if you could say. But there's a lot of controversy. We've been reading websites, newspapers, a lot of controversy about this new MTV show called Jersey Shore. Now, Jersey Shore, the premise of this is they put a bunch of people in a house on the Jersey Shore. Now, they've decided that the Jersey Shore house should be filled with people who are largely Italian. In fact, I think they're all Italian, as far as I can tell. But the idea was to get the biggest Guidos and Guidettes, and they use that term on the show, to live together, and the comedy would ensue. And... of course, MTV loves to put people in a house. They've been doing this for since 1992, I think, with The Real World. And, you know, they're just throwing people together, throw them in a house, and turn the cameras on them and watch what happens. And, of course, that's the premise for shows like Big Brother and just tons of stuff. And it seems like MTV can't get a lot of attention for its shows like Real World anymore. Those come and go, and no one really seems to give a shit. But not everyone's all upset about Jersey Shore. In fact, Italian-American groups have come out and they've said, you know, we're not happy with the depiction of us on Jersey Shore. That's making Italians look bad. It's making Italians look like buffoons. It's making Italians look like caricatures. And I understand that. And I understand that it's possible to show Italians in a bad light. Certainly there's a lot of people that are Italian that, you know, me being Italian, that's why I say it's close to me, because my last name, Fragamenti, of course, I'm half Italian on my dad's side, but I consider myself Italian more than any other ethnicity, and, you know, I just think that this controversy you know, it could be a bad thing for Italians. People say, well, Sopranos was bad for Italians, too. That these shows, mafia things, The Godfather, Goodfellas, can all make Italians look bad. I'm trying to pull up Jersey Shore here and get some. So they're talking about sponsors pulling out of Jersey Shore. Domino's Pizza has pulled out of Jersey Shore. Another sponsor, American Family Insurance, has said that they do not want their ads anymore on the show Jersey Shore. And but then some other sponsor decided they would sign on to Jersey Shore, a company called BenVerified.com. They do criminal background checks on people, and they want to be on Jersey Shore. So anyway. Yeah, this the group who's boycotting it, I have all the information in front of me now, is called Unico National, the largest Italian-American service organization in the USA. They're bigger than the mafia? That's shocking. Anyway, Unico National is the group that's upset, and they're going after the sponsors, and I decided I would watch Jersey Shore, so I recorded it onto the old DVR, and a lot of people are up in arms, especially over the intro, because when I was seeing these clips on TV on the various talk shows, and they were discussing it. Oh, excuse me, I got to stand up and plug something in here. You know, everyone played these clips, and I go, wow, these clips are outrageous. These guys are, you know, talking, I mean, just ridiculous comments about being Italian, and I like hair gel, and I want to party, and I like to bang chicks, and blah, blah, blah. And it was really wild, and I said, well, you know, this is, I could see how this would be offensive. So I recorded the whole show. And let me play you a little bit of the intro here. I'm going to play you, if I may, here, the intro to Jersey Shore. And you guys will know what I'm talking about, at least why people are upset. Let's see if we can pull up Jersey Shore here.
Out here in Rhode Island, Guido's, when we stop, our chrome keeps spinning.
This is a guy named the Paulie D. He's one of the, you know, I don't know how many guys are. I think there's like four girls and four guys on this show. And this is the intro, very beginning of the show, where they show you all the people in their hometowns, and they're getting ready to leave for the Jersey Shore. So this is Paulie D. Let's go back to him.
Raised the Guido. It's just a lifestyle. It's being Italian. It's representing family, friends, tan and gel, everything. I got a tanning bed in my place. That's how serious I am about being a Guido and living up to that lifestyle.
So Paulie is a guy. If you see this guy, he's muscular, got a lot of tattoos, a lot of hair gel, very tan. Yeah, typical Guido. You've seen guys like this around.
Favorite DJ.
He's a club DJ.
In their pants when they hear my music. All the ladies are fighting as he was going home with the DJ. I don't try to take a lot of guys' girlfriends, but it just happens. They'll end up leaving them for me. It takes me about 25 minutes to do my hair. It comes out perfect every single time. There's no way I'm going to Jersey without my hair gel. Can't leave without my gel.
They show this
when
guy.
I hit Jersey Shore, they're going to see a new Guido. Every girl loves the new guy.
So they show this guy throwing, you know, I'm estimating 10 bottles of hair gel to go to the Jersey Shore house, which is funny, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I got a bottle of hair gel under my sink, but Italians use a lot of hair gel because our hair is curly, and if you want it straight or something, you can put some gel in it. Anyway, not that I would ever do my hair like Paulie D over there, I don't know, but it's pretty funny. I mean, that's funny. I mean, that intro is funny. This guy is... It's comical, it's exaggeration, it's humorous. Not all Italians are clearly, not all Italians are like Paulie D. But Paulie D, very typical, you know, Guido, exactly what you're looking for. Central casting Guido is Paulie D. Now we start meeting, this next is a chick, so we'll meet her.
I'm going to Jersey Shore, bitch!
Thanks. This is Nicole Snooki.
I want to marry Guido. Ultimate dream is to move to Jersey, find a nice, juiced, hot, tan guy, and live my life.
Guido applications accepted over here.
I love Guidos. Let's go.
I like tan Italian boys with muscles.
Size does not matter. You know, even though I'm small, I have a loud mouth. I stick up for myself, and I don't give a
You haven't seen anything until you see me at the Jersey Shore.
See you later, Mom.
All right, so there's Snooki. You meet her. I think they put the most obnoxious guy and the most obnoxious girl first in this intro. And again, she says a lot of stuff. She loves Guido guys. She loves juiced guys, which means steroids. I don't know if we're going to see any steroids in this. A lot of the write-ups I've read, it's talking about, you know, talking about these guys are on steroids, and I haven't seen any evidence of them doing steroids on the show. Maybe that'll come up later, but now we're going to New Jersey to meet somebody else.
This is the situation right here. My ads are so ripped up, it's been called the situation.
Mike.
A Guido is a good-looking, smooth, well-dressed Italian.
Looks good.
I check out the mirror and like, whew, today's going to be a good day.
Girls love Guidos. I'm not even joking. I know girls that just go for that.
I mean, you can hate on me all you want to, but what can you possibly say to somebody that looks like Rambo pretty much with his shirt off? We usually work out at least 5 days a week. If I walked in the door and seen myself, I'd probably grab my girl real quick.
Now we're meeting...
is Sammy Sweetheart.
All right, Sammy Sweetheart. We'll skip her. I don't know. You know, she's another bimbo, I guess you could say.
Out of my face.
And then there's this next guy. I like this next guy, Lou. This is Vinny, I think. From Staten Island.
I'm definitely a mama's boy. You know, my mom cooks for me, cleans for me. She loves me to death. And, you know, that's just the way it is in my family. I'm definitely a generational Italian. Guys with the blowouts and the fake tans and that guy wear lip gloss and makeup, those aren't. Guidos are... Most people might consider being a Guido like you're stupid, but I went to school, graduated college. That doesn't shy away from, say, I don't have fun at night, you know what I mean? And I party and fist pump like the best.
And then it starts, and then it comes up, and then it comes up, and then all of a sudden, pounding your fist like a
maniac. Showing how to do the Guido fist pump. But again, funny.
Guido!
But Vinny made some good points. He says, hey, look, I went to college. I'm not some dumb guy. I'm a smart dude, you know. I like to have fun. And so Vinny giving you sort of the other side of Guido.
This is my first 21 summer at the Jersey Shore. You ain't getting in with a fake ID. It's 21 long years of anticipation to go to these places. And once you get there, you're like, holy this is the best place on earth.
Bye, Mom. Stop crying.
Hi.
But yeah, I have trouble being away from home. Like any traditional Italian kid, you know what I mean?
There's Vinny on his way.
If you don't know me, then you hate me, and you wish you were me.
This is Jenny, also known as
praying mantis. After I have sex with a guy, I will rip their heads off.
Let the party begin, bitch.
Because I have a bad habit of playing little emotional games with men. When they date me, it's cool in the beginning. We do our thing in the first month, and then I send them on a roller coaster ride to hell. I have so many girls that hate on me because whatever they are, they can't compare to me. I am seeing someone, but since the Jersey Shore is new to me, I am going to be a kid in a candy store. I can't wait to see.
So she's going to bang guys. All right, let's skip to the next guy. Oh, this next guy is great. You got to see this next guy. This is Ronnie from the Bronx. Here's Ronnie.
My only rule, never fall in love at the Jersey Shore. Never. Ever, ever, ever.
I mean, I don't really know what love means. The whole thing about this is pretty much getting laid. Just take your shirt off and it come to you. It's like a fly comes to
first impression is everything. Everywhere you go, you're always making a first impression on someone. The bank account could be low, but always have to look good. Always have to get a haircut. Always have to have new sneakers. You always have to look fresh.
Like gel, some cologne, more cologne.
And also grabbing his gel.
Stereotypes for a Guido, guy that always looks prettier than his girlfriend, which is completely unacceptable. I can't be with a girl that doesn't look prettier than me.
Let's go.
We got three words. Beers, and the beach. That's all that you need to know about the Jersey Shore.
I am the Kim Kardashian of Staten Island, baby.
And we'll meet this last chick, and we'll... Angelina.
I am all natural. I have real boobs. I have a nice, fat ass. Look at this. I mean, come on. I'm hot. If there's ever a time where I don't look good, I don't look out of the house.
Notice... They're also throwing lots of disco music that Guidos might prefer.
To me and I just, that's just, you know, what happens.
In the intro
yeah, I'm
here.
I'm very friendly and very outgoing. But I could be bitchy too. Like, don't get on my bitchy side.
Wait, am I excited? Yeah, you look really good with that.
Now I have a boyfriend, so I go out with him a lot.
See you later.
Love you.
Of course, her boyfriend's a Guido.
Me and my boyfriend to see if he's going to be okay with me being away from him. If he trusts me, it's going to be great. If he doesn't, then I'm going to have to move on, you know?
When I'm in the Jersey Shore house, I'm going to show them what it's like to be a real Guidette.
All right, so they're all heading to the Jersey Shore, and, you know, very funny intros, good start to the show. So I'm into it. I go, okay, this could be funny. And then they get in the house. and the show is horrible. It's just boring. I mean, it's like every other show. It's like every other dumb MTV show. There's nothing to it. It's a whole lot of nothing. People very upset about Jersey Shore, and there's nothing going on. It's horrible. I don't know why people get so upset. It's like it's a dumb show. It's a dumb MTV reality show. And I watched it, and the one girl gets drunk, and she's all upset, and the other girls don't lie. And it's like, how many other people have gotten drunk on MTV reality shows? A lot of them. A lot of them have gotten drunk and act stupid. How many guys mac on chicks and do this stuff? A lot of people. And not just because they're not Italian. You know, maybe they've made other ethnicities look bad over the years. The whole Jersey Shore thing is nothing. That's what I'm here to say. Wasted 15 minutes on it. I got to get to my assholes of the year. But there's nothing to Jersey Shore, but maybe it's worth a look. I didn't think the show was that great. I watched probably the first 40 minutes from there. Apparently, they got to go get a job. They can't just party all day. There's some guy who they got to run his T-shirt shop or something, and then he gets mad at him, and I don't know. If they show up drunk, he gets pissed. So that's Jersey Shore on MTV, and it's a whole lot of nothing. I'm not against Jersey Shore. I'm not for it. But there's no reason to get upset. It's every dumb show you've ever seen on MTV. Just, you know, with a different spin. So, there you go. Jersey Shore. Go watch that. Anyhow. All right, Assholes of the Year. Coming up right now. Well, actually, quickly, why don't I plug my comedy show again while I got you here early? It is Holiday Laugh-A-Palooza next week, December 19th at 7:30 p.m. at the Palace of Auburn Hills here in Metro Detroit. So make sure to get there. If you're anywhere near the Detroit area, Michigan, come down. It's a great time. I will be having, make sure to check the website at joelradio.net because I'm going to have discount coupons up there that you can download and get yourself in cheap. I believe it's $15 or $10 to get in, depending upon where you want to sit. With the discount coupon, you can take that right to the box office. You can get advance tickets at Ticketmaster.com and go to PalaceNet.com for more information. Holiday Laugh-A-Palooza, myself, four other guys, Ben Constantine, Dwayne Gill, Bill Squire, and Dan Greeter will be the other comics. It's going to be a good show. I hope you can all make it out. Saturday, December 19th. So a little commercial for that. All right. Okay, Assholes of the Year. I've been talking about this for the whole show. You're ready. Maybe you've been thinking about who the Assholes of the Year should be. And here they go. Now, some of these people I've discussed before, so I'm not going to give some of them a lot of airtime here. And some of them I haven't discussed before. And in the case of the number 10 Assholes of the Year, the number 10 Assholes of the Year I have discussed before. And the number 10 Assholes of the Year are the Salahis. The Salahis, I talked about this a lot last week, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. This is the couple who crashed the White House state dinner. Now, they came out, did interviews, said, we didn't really crash the White House dinner. We were invited, and there is now a trail of emails, a trail of voicemails, a trail of text messages. That's that now has really confirmed the point that the Salahis were never officially invited to the White House. And basically, if you didn't hear the story, the impression was the night before the White House state dinner, they were attempting to get invited. They were not officially invited to the White House at the state dinner. They never had a paper invitation. They decided to show up in the event that they were somehow added to the list at the last minute. Then they were allowed in. So while I'm not blaming them for actually getting in the dinner, that was the fault of the Secret Service and the White House staff. Just the fact that you would even do that. That you would even show up at a place like the White House without being invited, it just shows you're an asshole. And I went into this last week about how you know, they crashed the Washington Redskins cheerleader thing, and the wife was running around like she used to be a cheerleader, and she wasn't. And they go to all these events and have their pictures taken with people. I mean, typical assholes. Typical ass-kissing, celebrity elbow-rubbing dickheads, the Salahis. The number 10 assholes of the year. Okay. Now, number 9 on my list. This is a guy I have not talked about, I don't believe, ever on Joel Radio. But he has come in for a recent activity, actually. The number 9 asshole of the year from the world of music. And I should mention, this is going to be from the world of music, sports, even my own personal life. There are assholes making the list. But my number 9 asshole of the year is this guy, Adam Lambert. He's the guy, I believe he was the runner-up on American Idol. I don't think he won. I don't watch American Idol. That's too gay for me. I don't watch that. And then speaking of gay, this guy's gay. And then nothing against gay people. I'm not putting him in my... He's not the asshole of the year because he's a gay guy. He goes on the American Music Awards. His debut album has just come out. It just came out within the last couple weeks. He goes on the American Music Awards. They give him a live performance. He decides he's going to make out with a male member of his band. And then takes some female... I don't know if she was a dancer or a member of the band. But she shoves her crotch in... He shoves her face in his crotch, simulating oral sex. Now, look, a lot of celebrities have done risque stuff at awards. They've done, you know, wacky stunts. You know, of course, we know Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl with Justin Timberlake. Remember that? Remember Madonna and Britney Spears kissing? Remember all these controversial things? And I'm not putting him on the assholes of the year because he's gay, and I'm against two guys kissing on TV. But my point of... The reason this guy's the asshole, when it's been done before, it's been done by bigger celebrities who have actually accomplished something in show business. So what I mean by this is that, yeah, Adam Lambert is a guy, his album just came out. He sold exactly zero records. He was on American Idol, and that was a big show, but that show would have been big with or without him. You know, he's on there like he's a big friggin' star saying, I can do whatever I want. The rules are different for me. And you know what? The rules aren't different from you. You're an idiot. You've sold no records. You come on TV like you're a big star. Then you complain after, well, Madonna kissed somebody, and they'll show that on TV, but you're not Madonna. And you can argue, well, what are the rules different for me? Because I'm Adam Lambert. I'm a guy. I'm a new artist. And the answer is yes. There are different rules. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, what people can get away with, there are different rules. And you're nobody, Adam Lambert. You can't go around kissing guys. No wonder, of course, people are going to be outraged. You're a nobody. They want you to go on there and sing your song. Go on there and sing your song for a few years. Then you can make out with guys. People might accept it, but not now. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. Okay, you want to sell some records? You want to have a successful career? Then maybe people will show you respect. They'll stop busting your balls. But until then, you know, you overstepped your bounds. That's why he's an asshole. If the Salahis are assholes for being asked, for being wannabe celebrities, this guy's an asshole because he thinks he's a bigger celebrity than he is. He is a celebrity on some level. He's a reality television star. But, you know, you're not Madonna. You're not Prince. You're not Michael Jackson. You're not any of these people. You're Adam fucking Lambert. And if it wasn't for that show, who fucking knows where you'd be singing? You're no good. You haven't proven anything to anybody. So why don't you come back when you've had some success, try your little stunt again, and maybe people won't get so outraged. But that's why people are upset. It's not upset that you're gay. It's upset that you're a nobody acting like you're a big shot. Don't be a big shot, Adam Lambert, okay? Please. He's number 9. Coming in at number 8 on the assholes of the year, the countdown keeps on going with this guy. Now, this is from the world of sports, and this guy... Actually, Adam Lambert is a guy who hasn't had a lot of success. This guy's had almost more success than anybody in his field. And I'm talking about New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Now, why is Bill Belichick the asshole of the year? I'll tell you. He was playing the Colts a couple weeks ago, the Indianapolis Colts. And Sunday night game, he's leading the game. Leading the game. Game's not tied. He's leading the game. I believe they had a 4-point lead, I want to say. Something to that effect. And it's 4th-and-2 in the Indianapolis Colts 35-yard line, roughly. I don't have all the stats in front of me exactly where he was. He decided he would go for it and throw a pass. Now, listen, if you don't know football, let me lay the situation online. There's less than 2 minutes left. He's got a 4-point lead. He's on the 35-yard line. He decides to throw a pass to pick up 4th-and-2. If the 4th-and-2 is successful, if they get 2 or more yards, they can kill out the clock. The game's over. The Patriots win. If he's unsuccessful on 4th-and-2, the Indianapolis Colts are going to get the ball back with trailing by 4 points, and all they have to do is score a touchdown with just a few seconds left on the clock. Now, there wasn't a lot of time left on the clock. I forget how much there was. I believe it was less than a minute even. But, you know, my feeling is... Look, and it takes balls to do what he did. And Belichick has balls. I'm not faulting him for having balls. But this is the case of him being an asshole. It's overconfidence. His team, which has been great for a long time, the New England Patriots, isn't quite as good as it used to be. And you're going to risk a loss. This is the Indianapolis Colts, by the way, were undefeated when this happened. And the Patriots are leading their division, and they were at this time as well, the AFC East. But to go for it on 4th-and-2, when you know if you fail, you're inevitably going to lose the game. Now, it required Peyton Manning to go down the field and score a touchdown, but it was only 35 yards. And Peyton Manning's the best quarterback in football. So it wasn't a big stretch to think that the Colts would come back and win if you do this. So this guy essentially flipped a coin and gave his team a loss, which he is wholly and completely responsible for. And I think that makes you an asshole. I think if you have a chance to win the game, you go with what's going to win the game. You know, all you have to do is run out, is punt the ball, let your defense stop them. You know, the difference would have been had they punted, Colts might have gotten the ball on their own 20. It means they got to go 80 yards. You fail on 4th-and-2, they only got to go like 35 yards. So I believe Bill Belichick is one of the biggest assholes, and he's not a very likable guy anyway. He probably wouldn't have made my top 10 assholes, but this guy's been known as an asshole for a long time. But finally, his plan backfired. A lot of people were happy to see it, including me, Bill Belichick, my number 8 asshole of 2009. Now, I said there's going to be people from my personal life. These are also show business figures as well. This is the one item that's coming from my own personal life here. The number 7 assholes of the year. And this is a shared number 7 spot. This is Pauly Shore and Jimmy J.J. Walker. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you would know why I'm dissing Pauly Shore and Jimmy J.J. Walker. Of course, for those of you who don't know, I'm Up Chuck the Clown at the Gathering of the Juggalos for Insane Clown Posse. I'm hosting the comedy shows. They've booked Pauly Shore and Jimmy Walker to show up and perform late night comedy in a tent that I'm hosting. I'm running the stage, doing all this stuff. Jimmy Walker, you are an asshole because you failed to show up completely. You completely no-showed. Fans were waiting for you and you did nothing. You didn't show up. You didn't call. We had no idea you weren't coming. So, Jimmy Walker, you are an asshole of the year. Now, Pauly Shore did show up to perform. He showed up the night before. He was booked on a different night from Jimmy. And Pauly showed up. But the problem with Pauly is Pauly only did about a 30-minute set. Did like a 20-minute set. And he didn't really want to be there. And he got a lot of attitude. And I didn't really like Pauly all that much. Maybe under different circumstances, I'd like him. But he seemed to be above the whole thing. Didn't really want to be there. The Juggalos would have enjoyed his comedy. I know that your opener got hit with a can in the head, which is true. And that's not right to hit a guy with anything, but Pauly, you could have done better. You could have actually done your set. You could have, you know, saved a lot of people a lot of disappointment. People showed up to see you, and you had already come and done your thing because you did such a short bit. So, Pauly Shore, you are one of the assholes of 2009. There you go. Moving on to number 6, we'll go back to the world of sports. I talk a lot about MMA and specifically the UFC, and I will be doing my picks for the UFC show coming up this weekend along with Steve Sabo. He's emailed them in, so I'll just read them off to you. But this is also coming from the world of MMA, not UFC specifically. Instead, there was this promotion called Affliction. Affliction makes a lot of these T-shirts. The Guidos wear the T-shirts, actually. Speaking of Jersey Shore, to tie it all together, you see these shirts with the Grim Reaper or like a big, I don't know what you would have, big wings on it, and they're all like tight and kind of tie-dyed. And Affliction makes a lot of these shirts. You've probably seen these Affliction shirts. Well, they decided they wanted to get into the fighting game because a lot of MMA fighting type guys will wear these shirts as well. So they put together this promotion, Affliction. They signed this guy, Fedor Emelianenko, to be their lead star, and he's an undefeated guy. He fought in Pride in Japan. Since Pride went under, he's been fighting on his own shows and on smaller promotions. So Affliction has this guy to be their main star. And Emelianenko is not the asshole of the year, no. The asshole of the year is this guy, Josh Barnett, who was scheduled to fight Affliction at their third pay-per-view. He was considered largely to be the number 2 fighter of the in the heavyweight division in the world. And Josh Barnett failed a steroids test just weeks before the event was supposed to take place. The event, having no main event, decided to cancel the event, losing tons of money, canceling the event, losing tons of money for the other fighters that were on the bill. Of course, the fans never got to see the number one and number two heavyweight in the world fight. And the promotion folded and signed a partnership with UFC to be a sponsor with their clothing line. Basically, this guy failing steroids test destroyed a fight promotion, destroyed a card, cost people tens of millions of dollars. So Josh Barnett, why you got to do steroids? And Josh Barnett had had, I believe, at least one other steroid failure in his past when he was fighting for UFC. And UFC wouldn't touch him because of that. And he went to Affliction and ruined that company with another positive steroids test. And steroids are not uncommon in the world of sports. They're certainly not uncommon in the world of MMA. But if you're going to be fighting, I believe they were going to be fighting in California, where they do have strict drug testing. Don't fail a drug test before the fight, you know? That's my feeling. There's ways maybe to take your drugs to get off and before the testing starts. But Josh Barnett, you screwed up. You're an asshole. Thinking that you could get away with something when, in fact, it cost an entire company. He destroyed a company, essentially, by doing this. So, Josh Barnett, you are the number six asshole of 2009. Josh Barnett. Now, for the number five asshole, we're halfway done with the bog. I'm going to type in this. I got to get some more info on this guy. I'm sorry I should have done this. But this one comes from the world of movies. Now, movies I love, of course. And, you know, a lot of people make a lot of bad movies. And, you know, I could consider those guys assholes. But generally, a lot of bad movies don't do well. But unfortunately, I'm looking at the grosses for the year 2009. And the top movie for 2009 was largely considered a horrible movie. It's grossed $402 million. The number two movie of the year has grossed only $300 million. That's Harry Potter. But the number one movie with $400 million is Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. And I've picked the director of Transformers, Michael Bay, to be my number five asshole of the year. And I say this not because Transformers made a bunch of money, okay? But Transformers was not a great movie. The original Transformers was not good. And even though people seem to like that more than I did, I saw that at the IMAX theater, as a matter of fact. Corey and I went over to a screening of it there. So I didn't pay anything to get in, but I did watch it on the IMAX screen. Thought it was completely annoying, loud, stupid, and not good at all. But they made a ton of money originally, so they made the sequel. The sequel came out. And even though people didn't really like the first one all that much, and not everybody, some people did, the second one comes out, people like it even less, and yet it still makes $400 million. Now, you could say that aren't the assholes of the year the people that went to Transformers, and that might be true. But I'm going to say the asshole of the year is Michael Bay, because look, you had a chance to make a good movie. You got away with the first one. People were willing to forgive that it wasn't so great, the first Transformers. They say, hey, we'll make a second one, and it's going to be even worse. You know? It's one thing to make a bad movie, you get away with it. And if you look at what Michael Bay's directed in his career, there's not a lot of good movies on the list, dude. Here's what Michael Bay's made. Transformers, of course, in its sequel. He made The Island, which is kind of the only bomb on this list. Made $35 million. That was in 2005. He made Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2, which maybe those were good. I don't know. I think those are for black people. I don't watch the Bad Boys movies. He also made Pearl Harbor, which was terrible. But that made a lot of money, $198 million. Armageddon, a completely horrible film. And The Rock, which wasn't quite as bad as Armageddon, but was not great either. So this guy's track record is a lot of bad movies. Of course, his grosses have only gone up since then. So Michael Bay, you are the number five asshole of the year. Stop making bad movies. I mean, people are willing to go, at least give him a good movie, for God's sakes. Michael Bay, idiot. All right, the number four asshole of the year. Now, this is a guy I've already talked extensively about this. In fact, I believe it was the very first Joel Radio, maybe the second one, when this story broke. But, of course, the death of Michael Jackson, one of the biggest news stories of the year. And I have at number four the doctor who administered the fatal propofol that killed Michael Jackson, Dr. Conrad Murray. You are the number four asshole of 2009. Now, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You take this job, Conrad Murray. You're Michael Jackson's doctor. And my feeling with this is that, yeah, Michael Jackson is at fault for his own death. The guy was addicted to propofol. He liked to take it to go to sleep. For those of you who don't know, it's an anesthetic. It's something you would get before surgery to knock you out. And he would take this stuff to make him sleepy so he could sleep at night. And, you know, they hire Conrad Murray. He gets this AEG Entertainment. This is the company that was producing these live shows. To hire Conrad Murray to look after Michael so Michael doesn't die. And he gives Michael Jackson whatever he wants. Yeah, my fault with him is that you're the doctor. You decide what drugs go in Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson doesn't decide. That's why you're there, dude, to make sure Michael doesn't kill himself. And then you go ahead and you help him kill himself. I mean, what kind of an asshole is that? So, of course, the London concerts don't happen. A lot of people lose a lot of money. All the fans don't get to see it. Conrad Murray will probably, I'm guessing, eventually, I know the case is still open, be charged either with murder or, I don't know what else, manslaughter, some sort of charge. I've discussed this on the show previously at length, but Conrad Murray, you helped Michael Jackson kill himself. When your job was supposed to do the complete opposite. For complete failure to do your job, you are the number four asshole of the year. Well, I need some water. Tearing through this. All right. Let's get to our number three asshole of the year. Number three asshole of the year. This is a guy, as much as Conrad Murray didn't do his job, the guy that I'm putting at number three is a guy who actually did his job, I think, quite well. And I'm putting him at number three because eventually this guy may be shown to be a failure. This guy might get fired from the position he has now. But my feeling with this guy is he made a decision that was so disliked by pretty much everybody that heard the decision that I think you have to put this guy, you know, this guy is, he just, it's for just making a wrong decision. I am putting the president of NBC, Jeff Zucker, at my number three. And, of course, the decision that he made that nobody liked was moving the Jay Leno show to 10 o'clock on NBC. Because, and it's not just that I hate Leno. And I've talked about Leno again on the show a lot. Leno is a guy who, you know, they didn't want Leno to go to another network. They put Conan at 11:30 because Conan's contract dictated that he gets the Tonight Show. They decide that Leno would probably be the better act at 11:30, but they have to give it to Conan contractually. They can't pay off Conan, get Conan to leave. They don't want Conan to go either. So they decide to put Jay Leno at 10 o'clock. They cancel all the 10 o'clock dramas that they had, putting a lot of writers out of work, a lot of actors out of work. They're now competing with the other network shows, the other networks and the parent companies that own this their networks decide, we're not going to let our talent even go on the Jay Leno show. The Jay Leno show comes on, does decent for the first couple weeks till the first run primetime series is hit. Now the Jay Leno show is actually getting beaten by cable shows at 10 p.m. It's usually at somewhere between the number three and number six show at 10 p.m., even considering cable shows. It's doing about a 1.5 rating. So the show was a critical failure. It's not funny. It's basically the same exact stupid Tonight Show he did. It's a ratings failure. It's not beating any ratings that you had before. The local affiliates wanted these strong 10 o'clock shows that would be doing, 3 and 4 ratings in front of Leno, in front of their news at 11 o'clock. Instead, they've got dumbass Leno doing a 1.5 or 1.4 in front of them. So now the ratings for their local news are going down the tubes. So this guy really just fucked up everything. He made a decision, which might be good for NBC's bottom line because Leno is cheap. He can make a little bit more money because it doesn't cost what some of these other shows cost to produce. And he's keeping Leno off the competition. He makes a very selfish decision for his company, but ultimately one that hurts a lot of people and that nobody really wanted Leno at 10 o'clock. So, Jeff Zucker, you are the number three asshole of the year. Number three. It's getting high. Only a couple assholes left. That's right. The number two asshole of the year, I've gone into... I want to say this is politics. I didn't really go into politics here. I didn't put Obama on the list. I don't really think Obama's an asshole. I don't agree with everything he's done, but he's not an asshole. This guy's an asshole, and I'll tell you why. This is a political issue. The guy that I put at number two is actually a scientist, believe it or not. He is a scientist. A guy who... I'll tell you what this guy's name is. His name is Phil Jones. He was the president of the Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia in England. And this university and his group, the Climate Research Unit, that Phil Jones ran, has, I'm reading this to you now, but they are known as being the number one university worldwide in studying the phenomenon of climate change and global warming. They had the world's largest temperature data set. In other words, this data that this university provided to the rest of the scientific community in the world is why people are basing all these claims of global warming and the Earth is hotter than it's ever been and it's human, it's caused by humans and blah, blah, blah. So coming out of this East Anglia University that Phil Jones is running, their climate change center, all of this information has been given to all these other scientists who have drawn the conclusion that the Earth is warming up and it's because of CO2 levels. Then, just last month, it's determined the email was hacked, and I don't agree with committing a crime to get to the bottom of anything, but the email of this university was hacked. It turns out that a lot of this climate information was not true. It was fake. They were using statistical tricks. And in fact, for the last 10 years, the Earth has cooled if you use the raw data. But the way that they interpreted the data was to make it seem as if the Earth was actually getting warmer in the last 10 years, when in fact it hasn't. It's gotten cooler. And they also are trying to stop the discussion. They're trying to explain, you know, here's one email. It was a quote from one of the emails. The fact is, we can't account for the lack of warming at the moment, and it's a travesty that we can't. And another one says, it would be nice to contain the medieval warming period. This was a period between 800 and 1300 AD when the Earth was much warmer than it is even today. And they would like to contain it because, of course, that blows the whole theory that global warming is caused by CO2, caused by man-made emissions, burning of fossil fuels, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, this climate unit group has been cooking the books. They've been making up this data. They've been giving this false data to scientists who are now making conclusions. And I'm not saying the conclusions the scientists are made are necessarily wrong, but they're based on fake data. So really, this whole global warming climate change thing is really just, it's a house, and the foundation is built on sand. It's built on sand, meaning sand is lies. It's built on fake data. And as such, this house of global warming, of climate change, is going to collapse because it is built on sand. It is collapsing underneath this phony data. And Phil Jones, to his credit, did resign from his post at the Climate Research Unit at East Anglia University. But the damage has been done. For years and years now, governments have introduced all kinds of legislation. They have hurt the private sector by putting restrictions on things that these corporations can and cannot do, emission standards, that kind of things, all based on phony information coming out of the Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia. So I say, Phil Jones, you, for causing a global, for essentially starting a global scam. It's a scam. It's a swindle. It's a boondoggle, this global warming. It's not true. If the Earth is getting warmer, it is getting warmer because of the sun. The sun affects the Earth's temperature more than anything else in the world. And all these guys like Phil Jones, who is now stepped down, this other guy, Michael Mann, who is another big shot, who works at Penn State University, who used a lot of this data to create something called the hockey stick. If you know what the hockey stick is, if you've seen An Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore movie, he uses that a lot in the film. It's kind of the key thing where it shows how warm the Earth has gotten. Of course, that information was derived from Phil Jones' data, And now this guy, Michael Mann, who created the hockey stick at Penn State, is under investigation in the same kind of way that Phil Jones is. Let's hope that Michael Mann decides to step down and he's not cooking his books as well, which he very well may be. So this whole global warming thing may be shown to be a scam, and it's all the fault of Phil Jones. So Phil Jones, for creating a worldwide panic, for lying, you are the number two asshole of 2009. Phil Jones. All right. Wow, now that I've done that whole spiel on global warming, I gotta think this guy might be the biggest asshole of the year. You know? It's like, wow, who could be a bigger asshole than that? And it's true. Now that I think about it, I'm kind of like, God, he should have been number one. But with number one, I've gone back to more of a tabloid kind of thing. Maybe something that seems trivial. Maybe something that doesn't seem like it's a big deal to be the number one asshole of the year. Maybe somebody who, you know, you think, well, I don't really like them, but are they really that big of a problem? For my number one, sorry about that. Let me get the drum roll going for you here. For my number one asshole of the year, we have co-winners for the number one asshole of the year. The number one asshole of 2009, according to me, Joel Fregmini, joelradio.net. It is John and Kate Gosselin of John and Kate Plus 8. That's right. Once again, John and Kate Gosselin. I'll get the goddamn sound effects right one of these days. John and Kate Gosselin are my number one assholes. I guess they are co-winners of the assholes of the year. And I know I've got a lot of, you know, controversial people on here. Conrad Murray killed Michael Jackson. Why are they the number one assholes of the year? Well, I'll tell you. To me, these people are completely clueless. They actually embody a lot of what these other people have. They're sort of the star fuckers, like the Salahis. They sort of feel that they're bigger stars than they are, like Adam Lambert. They sort of are liars. I find them quite dishonest, like Phil Jones. John and Kate Gosselin, for those of you who don't know, they have the show with the eight kids. They got sextuplets, that's six kids, and they got a pair of twins. Largely, they decided to break up. Now, look, I don't blame any couple for breaking up. Breaking up happens. It's natural, okay? They get a divorce. That's okay. They go on to try to continue this show with their kids and say, you know, now that the family's broken up, maybe it'd be good if we just stopped doing the show. That was brought up to them. Hey, maybe you should stop doing the show. And they go, no, we're going to keep doing the show. This is the mom, anyway. This is Kate's side of the story. As Kate says, well, the kids want to do the show. I don't want to stop doing the reality show because the kids love it. The kids want to do the show. And I'm like, these kids, the oldest kids are six. The other kids are like four. So you're going to let a six-year-old decide what they're going to do. A decision like to be on television or not be on television. You're going to let a six-year-old do that. Why don't you let a six-year-old decide what you're going to eat for dinner that night? You would never let a six-year-old do that. You know why? Because a six-year-old's going to want to eat chocolate chip cookies and ice cream for dinner. You can't let a six-year-old just make those decisions for you. You got to be an adult. You got to be a grown-up and let them make this decision. And then all they do is they put their kids on TV, they get famous, and then they bitch about being famous. It's like, wait a minute, you put your kids on TV, you want it to be famous. And all they'll bitch about the fame, but they don't bitch about the money. This Kate Gosselin's running around having a makeover, spa days. Have you seen Kate Gosselin years ago when that show started, what she looked like, what she looks like now? This woman thinks she's Oprah or something. She thinks she's a big deal in Hollywood, and she's not. She went on The View. They said, what do you think is next for Kate Gosselin? They asked her point blank. She said she wanted to do the voice of an animal. She wanted to do the voice in a cartoon, in an animated movie. She wants to do cartoon voices. Like, how are you qualified for doing cartoon voices? You had a bunch of kids. You're an idiot. I mean, I'm trying to decide who I hate more, Kate or John. Everyone seems to be hating on John lately, and all John wants to do is get laid. I mean, Kate's a pain in the ass. He decides to leave. He goes, bangs a couple of chicks. Now, granted, John Gosselin could have been a little more mellow. He didn't have to go around wearing all these Ed Hardy t-shirts and looking like a douchebag. He looks like one of the guys from Jersey Shore, come to think of it. Well, he's Hawaiian. He's not Italian. But John Gosselin's, look, he's a dickhead too. I'm not saying it. But one thing I do take John's side on is this, is John is trying to end the TLC show. In fact, they're in court today. I don't know how it what the remedy was there. But John was trying to get the show to end and said that he doesn't want his kids doing it. It's not good for the kids. And I applaud him for that. Because ultimately, this is why they're the number one asshole of 2009. The show is going to be bad for their kids. Your kids are not going to be normal. Your kids are going to be grown up. They're going to be pointed at school. Everyone's going to talk about them and whisper. You want to have normal kids. And I'm not saying your kids are bad. Nah. Your kids are great kids. I see the show. They're fun to watch. You watch them finger paint or whatever they do. It's fun. They seem like nice kids. But, you know, there's been a lot of nice kids. There's been a lot of kids in show business that were talented, that were actors, singers, whatever it was. And when they grow up, they got drug problems. They're committing suicide. Dana Plato, the whole cast of Different Strokes comes to mind. I mean, you got to consider that these kids are child stars, and they have really no discernible talent. It's one thing if you're an actor like a Jodie Foster, who was a kid actor, grew up to have a nice career. Kurt Russell, kid actor, grew up to have a nice career. These kids aren't even actors. I mean, they're famous for doing nothing. I mean, as much as we dump on, like, I was maybe going to put, like, the Kardashian bitches on here or something on the top 10 assholes, because they're kind of famous for doing nothing. But, I mean, these kids are really famous for doing nothing. I mean, even more so than anybody else on the planet, they're famous for doing nothing. You were born. You're famous for being born. It's the worst kind of fame you could ever have. I mean, these kids are going to grow up to be assholes. They're going to be on my top 10 assholes in 20 years. Some of the top 10 assholes of 2029. I'll be podcasting then. It'll be kind of sad, but I'll be doing it. So John and Kate Gosselin, you know, look after your kids. Get rid of the show. Go back. Have a normal life. Take your kids off TV. If you think you got some fame, Kate, and you want to do something else, explore those opportunities, but leave your kids out of it. And John, if you want to go bang chicks, you go ahead, bang chicks. We'll see if anyone wants to bang you when the show's over. Probably not. You got bug eyes and you're balding. You're ugly, dude. No offense, but... So there are my top 10 assholes of 2009. Wow. What a list. If you've got any thought on this, of course, let me know. Email. You can email me at email@coreyandjoelradio.com. Send an email to the address there. You can also call into the douchebag hotline at 610-552-0746. That'll be the douchebag hotline. Call in. Tell me who your biggest assholes were. I want to hear. I'll play it right here on the show. I swear I will. The Douchebag Hotline. Call in 610-552-0746. All right, before we go today, a couple UFC picks. Sabo emailed me these. I guess he's busy this week doing whatever he's doing on the road. He's probably in the middle of a snowstorm. I think Sabo likes it that way. I think he likes to book himself in the Midwest as snow hits. It's about 10 degrees but right now in Detroit. It's horrible. There's snow on the ground. So I guess Sabo is out on the road. But he did send me these picks via email, so I will... Again, my picks were done independently of Sabo. This is UFC 107 this week in Memphis, Tennessee. Catch it on pay-per-view. The main event, BJ Penn versus Diego Sanchez. This is for the 155-pound title. BJ Penn is undefeated at 155 pounds. Diego Sanchez won the Ultimate Fighter Season 1 at middleweight. He is now, actually at welterweight, excuse me. He has moved down to 155, won a couple of fights, now gets a chance to fight BJ Penn. Sabo and I are both predicting BJ Penn to win this fight. We think BJ Penn's just got too much experience and will not be. And Diego Sanchez is a good fighter, certainly has a chance in this one, but BJ Penn has looked very good since losing to George St. Pierre at 170. He went back down to 155, beat Kenny Florian handily, and I think we'll be able to handle Sanchez as well. We split on the next fight, Czech Congo versus Frank Mir at heavyweight. Frank Mir, the former champ, recently lost to Brock Lesnar. Czech Congo recently lost to Cain Velasquez. Frank Mir with the better ground game, says Sabo. He thinks he will win. I've taken Czech Congo. It is an upset, but I'm going with it here. Czech Congo in an upset. I think he's too strong standing. He may be able to pummel Frank Mir standing and win the fight that way. He did hit Velasquez with quite a few punches. Velasquez took him and sustained it, so we've gone in separate directions on that fight. We've both taken John Fitch to beat Mike Pierce. Mike Pierce is a wrestler who had a win over Brock Larson recently, and he's filling in to fight John Fitch, who John Fitch is an experienced guy who had a title fight against George St. Pierre. I guess it was the beginning of the last year. But John Fitch is on his way back. We both got him winning. We split on Kenny Florian versus Clay Guida at 155. Both guys coming off losses. In fact, Florian lost to BJ Penn and Guida lost to Diego Sanchez. Actually, Florian might have beaten Joe Stevenson in the meantime. But anyway, we split here. I've got Clay Guida. He is the underdog. Sabo takes the favorites. Sabo's taking all the favorites, by the way. It's kind of a douchey way to pick. But anyway, Clay Guida, I have. I think he will probably be able to knock out or outpoint Kenny Florian. Sabo says Florian. And we've both got Stefan Struve at heavyweight defeating Paul Buentello. Struve is a young, tall kickboxer-type fighter. Paul Buentello is a veteran who was recently fighting in Strikeforce. Buentello's got a lot of losses on his record. He certainly has a chance. He has the experience edge. But we've both got Struve winning that one. The overall records for both of us are now 22-13 heading into that show. I used to have a big lead on Sabo, but he's caught up on the last couple of shows. So UFC 107 is this weekend. Once again, we're splitting on Congo and Mir. I've got Congo, Sabo's got Mir. I've got Clay Guida, Sabo's got Kenny Florian. And we're both taking BJ Penn, John Fitch, and Stefan Struve to win. All right, people, that is going to do it for Joel Radio for this week. I want to thank you for listening. Once again, quick plug, Holiday Laugh-A-Palooza. That's H-A exclamation point. Holiday Laugh-A-Palooza. The Palace of Auburn Hills, December 19th. Definitely check that show out. If you're in the area, 7:30 p.m. is the start. I'm going to be the first comic out the door, so show up early. Get a good seat. It's going to be a great time. A lot of great comics on that show. Huge venue. Great chance to come see me do some comedy for those of you that have never had that opportunity. This is one of the biggest, probably the biggest show I've ever done, if you're not counting like ICP kind of stuff. So this is definitely one to see. I want you all to come out if you can. December 19th. Discount tickets are available. I'll have a PDF, a link to a PDF up there on joelradio.net. Bring those to the box office, get yourself some cheap tickets, or go on Ticketmaster right now, get them in advance. Holiday Laugh-A-Palooza with me, Joel Fragamenti, December 19th. Thank you all for listening. This was fun. Enjoy doing the assholes of the year. More next year. Who will be the assholes of 2010? We will find out next year. But you don't have to wait till now. You can come back next week. I'll talk about something else. The assholes are done. Unless someone does something assholery in the next 6 days. And then I'm going to have to make it the 11 biggest assholes. Good night, everybody. We'll catch you later.